Let us pray.
God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the alien residents in your towns, so that your male and female slaves may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. And thought how to destroy him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is a book by Walter Brueggemann, who is an Old Testament professor, prolific writer, preacher, teacher, and it is called Sabbath as Resistance. I think it was Lori who said that makes her think of Star Wars, The Rise of the Sabbath Resistance. It would be a great movement to start if we could start something like that. Because Sabbath, what we think of as Sabbath, is that day of rest. And it is, according to Brueggemann, Sabbath really is this thing, this gift from God that helps us to resist pressures around us that try to get us to conform to a certain perspective. But the Sabbath is designed to help us have certain points of view that are more life-giving than they are deprecating to our lives. So those things that we participate in and may not even realize it, that steal our lives from us, the joy of life, that kind of skew our sense of well-being and what it is to be in the world, Sabbath sets us as an example of how we are supposed to view the world. It's kind of a starting point. And you may think, well, how in the world do you get to there from a sense of rest, a day of rest, to this whole vision of being? Well, I'll tell you. whenever God gave this commandment, this Sabbath commandment to the Hebrew people, there was this sense of a great gift, if you can imagine. They had been an enslaved people. They knew what it was to be cogs in a machine. They knew what it was to be driven, to be valued only by what they could produce and the work they could do. They were seen as not as valuable to the people that were enslaving them. They weren't as valuable as regular human beings. Their value rested in what they could produce, the wealth they could produce, the bricks they could produce, the work they could do. It relegated them to a very low place, robbed them of their humanity, and turned them into nothing but machines, essentially. So God comes and says to them as they are leaving Egypt and as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, keep the Sabbath, make it holy. Set aside a day of rest. Not just for you, human beings, but for the other beasts of burden around you, your donkeys, your oxen. They don't have to work either. As a matter of fact, the year of the Lord that we hear about later in their lives, in the culture of the people, there is this, every 7 years, even the fields get to rest and lie fallow. There's a sense of needing to renew and rejuvenate our lives, and not just us as human beings, but all of creation around us. The first creation story in Scripture kind of undergirds this perspective that God, at the end of creation, after those 6 days, God took a break. God rested after all this had been created, after the birds, the water, the rocks, the trees, the human beings had been created. God takes a rest and revels and takes joy in what has been created. And so we are given this same gift, a gift to rest. Now, there are some of you in this room that I know for a fact, rest is not your friend. Doing nothing is not part of your being in this world. Do you know how many to-do lists that we could find just imagine, if we all compiled our to-do lists over the last 4 weeks and put them in a pile up here, we would probably have the makings of a bonfire, if we're honest. To do, to do, to do, to do, to do. We have things to do. If you don't have things to do, then where are we even living? If we don't have unfinished things on our to-do list, are we even living properly? Because we, as a culture, value being busy. We got to be busy. Because if we're not busy, that means no one wants us to do anything. And the only way that we are valuable is if we are creating something, if we're producing something, if we're increasing our wealth, if we're providing to the increase of wealth, if we are making money. If we're not making money, we got to find a way to make money. If we're not making money, when we're spending money, you know, we got to get the stuff. We got to take care of our stuff. That makes us busy. It's hard for us to sit back and rest, to say, enough. And that's essentially what God was trying to tell all of creation, is that there is such a thing as enough. There was enough manna that fell from heaven to get us from this day to the next. God blesses us with our daily bread, enough to get us through the day. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We worry about today. How many of us could say that's absolutely true of my life? I never worry about tomorrow. I worry about yesterday, today, tomorrow, and 20 years from now. God says, though, reminds us, what Sabbath can remind us, is that there is a point where God sits back and says, creation was very good, and I will rest and rejoice in what has been made. God gives us that same gift. That same gift to sit back and say, there is enough. This is enough. I am enough. I don't have to strive all of the time to achieve some false goal that is out there. I don't have to buy into the idea that the only thing that gives me value is if I am making something, earning something, buying something. What is the grace of Sabbath is the understanding that God says, you're enough. You work hard, you strive, but it's not everything. It's not everything. There is more to life than the striving. And that's hard to get into our heads, because we are a people who gauge our success by the numbers. And God says, why don't you just gauge your value on what I say is important? And what I say is important is you. What I say is important is you. Life, living, loving, being in relationship. What I say is important is care for all of creation. From the lowliest to the greatest, from the highest to the lowest. To the single cell things, to these intricate creatures that have been created, God says, you're enough. Now, this echoes in our value of one another. If I see you as simply, your value to me is simply on what you can do for me, that's not a very good relationship to have with one another. So I have to look at you as a person who is valued by God with the grace that says you're enough. I get to look at you and say, you're enough. Your value is not what you can do for me. Your value rests in God saying, all of us are enough. So one of the ways that we practice this sense of Sabbath in the church is we come together. We come together on a Sunday morning and we worship, we set it aside. We pastors go home. Some of us, at some point today, I will guarantee 99.9% of pastors will take a nap at some point during the day. But we come together and we worship. And we try not to fall into the trap of giving the Sabbath away. It's very easy for us to come into church with an agenda. an agenda of all the people we need to talk to before we get out of here, an agenda of checking to see, you know, which hymns are we singing today, and do we know any of them? Boy, we failed on that today. But, you know, and who's going to be reading what, and how's this going to work out, and are we going to hear this, and is so-and-so going to be there, and if so-and-so is going to be there, then I'm going to have to sit over here. And, you know, we walk in here with agendas, with a lot of baggage. And on Sabbath is the day for us to take that break and say, today we are all enough. Today we are enough. I am enough. George is enough. Marina is enough. We are enough. We are here not for what we can do for each other. We are here because what God has done for us. We come in here on a flat playing field. All of us. So that we can once again find the renewal of a day off. A day of grace. A day when we step off of the hamster wheel. A day when our to-do lists are about how we respond to God's grace in our lives. Just to take a breath and in turn give that grace to one another. Give that grace to one another. That we will say that our value as a church is not resting in numbers. It's resting in God's grace for us. And that grace that we receive overflows into what we do and how we are the rest of our days through the week. When we gather here on a Sunday like today, there is a very visible reminder that God has said, come to me all who labor and I will give you rest. This table that is laid before us says, look, I have loved the world so much that I gave my only son. And we will gather at the table and eat and drink together, not because we have earned it through our striving, but because God has graciously set the table for us. And so we can all have that sigh of relief that says, we who are gathered here can just take a moment and offer thanks. That God sees us as more than what we can produce, but cherishes us as God's own creation to hold close, to nurture, to build up. And so we come on this Sabbath not thinking of all the things we have to do, but resting in God's grace. And hopefully as we learn this lesson of acceptance for what God has done for us, the Holy Spirit then transforms us so that we can have our vision renewed and transformed to see the world as God sees it. So that we are not commodities, but we are fellow creations. So that when we see those people whom we would normally judge, we can see them and give them the break that God has given us. that we can give a break to our prejudices. We can give a break. We can give a rest to those demands that we put on other people. We can give a rest to those things that spur us on to judge people for maybe not producing enough, for not living up to our standards. As we understand that God says it's not just you who is enough, it is creation. And so we live into that grace. We understand that we are part of something much greater, that God loved enough even to speak into being. So we don't have to constantly try to be better. We can rest in the grace of God that says, "You are my child. I love you. I grant to you the peace." Rest in it. Renew in it. And know that there is nothing that can separate you from my love. So you see, the gift of Sabbath isn't a joke. It's not something that we can just say, "Oh, yeah, day of rest." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like a lot of pastors end up doing, yeah. Or church employees of any kind or volunteers, that sometimes it becomes the busiest day of the week. What is important is for us to understand the spirit of the Sabbath that says enough. Rejoice. Find the joy of living, this gift that God has given to all of us. Because it is the joy of creation that God brings to each of us as it's spoken into being. And so it's worth a try to live into that joy and that hope and that grace as beloved creatures of God. So happy Sabbath. Joy-filled Sabbath. Burden-free Sabbath to us all. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you have declared us enough. Thank you for the gift of creation, for our place in it. Thank you for the grace of rest, for the grace of resting from labor, from the grace of resting from striving. Help us to live into that grace, even as we come to this table that is set by you and receive the invitation to be part of your kingdom. In Christ we pray. Amen.